I want you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to John, chapter number 12. We're going to take a little break this Sunday and next Sunday from our continual movement through the Gospel of John. We're in chapter 19 in that, but we're going to backtrack a little bit. We're just going to go back to John 12. Look at a few verses here this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we are humbled that you would bless us with your grace and with your mercy. We are thankful that you have provided that which we need to be here, to be in your house on the Lord's day with our brothers and sisters in Christ, who you have also led here to worship you. And my prayer this morning is that everything that is done, every song that has been sung, and every word that is said, every word that comes from this pulpit toward your people, from your word, would be that which is true and helpful and strengthening spiritually and glorifying to you. We are here not to receive, we are here to give worship. And may your word go forth with power to cause us to worship you in a greater way. And I pray that one that may be here this morning that doesn't know you, they may think they know you, but they may not, and you know their hearts. And so I pray that as your word is preached, you would open their hearts and open their ears to these things. And God, if you would be so pleased to draw them to yourself and save them, we would be most grateful. In Christ's name and for Jesus' sake, we pray. Amen. John chapter 12, verse 12 and 13. And then I want us to drop down to verse 20 and read 20 through 26. This is my shot. This is my efforts to try to tug as hard as I can against everything that the world is using to tug you in the opposite direction about Christmas. Verse 12. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, that would be the feast of the Passover, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, "Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." Verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was at Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Those are the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, penned down for us by the Apostle Paul in the Gospel of John, and all God's people said, Amen. I don't know if you know this or not, but there is nowhere in Scripture, Old Testament or New Testament, where we are commanded to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Nowhere. Now, we are commanded in the Scripture to remember His death. And we are to remember that, or that command to remember the death of Christ is not given to the world. It's given to the church. We are to remember His death as believers in the church by observing the Lord's table. But we are nowhere in Scripture commanded to celebrate Christmas. But we do. And I don't think there's anything wrong with celebrating Christmas if we are focusing on Christ. I don't think there's anything wrong with Christmas if we are doing it properly. But I do think that there could be harm done if we don't do it rightly. I have looked in Scripture to try to find a parallel to Christmas in the Scriptures. And the closest thing that I can find that would be parallel to the way that we celebrate Christmas is the way that the Jews celebrated Passover. Because both of these great festivals, Passover and Christmas, are and were times of great celebration, times when the nation, almost in totality, was involved in the festivity. One, the Passover, us, Christmas. And both Passover and Christmas were, I think, centered in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the portion of Scripture that we read this morning is a passage of Scripture that deals with the Passover, but I am going to try to take that passage, make some Christmas applications this morning. When John says the feast, of course, as I said, he means the feast of the Passover. Not just the meal itself, but the entire event that transpired over the duration of many days. And they just called it the feast. The entire festivity was just called the feast. So you have this celebration. It's the celebration of the Passover. You remember, the Passover was a celebration of their deliverance from Egyptian bondage that God had miraculously performed. And you have this, right in the text, you have this anticipation of some that Jesus is coming to Jerusalem. So you have the feast of the Passover, and you have this anticipation of the coming of Christ, which I think is as close to getting to what Christmas is in Scripture. So I want to make some applications, three of them, of things that were happening at this particular religious festival in Scripture that remind me of things that happened today that are not right. In other words, there was error in how they were celebrating the Passover, and there's error in how many celebrate Christmas. And so I want to warn you of three things that we need to do or not do if we're going to do Christmas right. Number one, beware of having a superficial Christmas. Beware of having a Christmas that has no substance. Beware of having a Christmas that is empty, superficial, surface only, no depth. Now, what had happened is, in this text, they're having the Feast of the Passover. And of course, we understand that this Feast of the Passover was indeed about the Lord Jesus Christ, yes? He is the Passover Lamb. And actually, John the Baptist had already pointed that out, right? Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. But here, the Passover is taking place, the festivities are happening, the excitement is evident, and Jesus Christ Himself is being overlooked and misunderstood, to say the least. Beware of having a Christmas. Beware of having another Christmas that is void of substance and significance. Most of the people that were in Jerusalem, and Jerusalem would be heavily populated during Passover, but most of those that were in Jerusalem on this day and during this week were there for three major reasons, none of them for Christ. Firstly, some there came for the pageantry of the feast. And there was much pageantry going on. There was music, there was celebration, there was symbolism, very much like we do with our Christmases. Pageantry at Christmas, just as pageantry at the Passover, very often becomes nothing more than empty form and ritual. It is amazing, at Christmas we do what we've always done without any thought about it whatsoever. And you understand there are many Jews who still celebrate the Passover today with not one thought of Jesus Christ. They're still looking for the Messiah. They don't understand. They don't believe that the Messiah has come. And there are many Americans who really don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah, yet they still love all the pageantry of Christmas. You understand there are people who celebrate Christmas that don't even believe that Christ exists. They still love the lights, they love the trees, they love the tinsel, they love the food, they love the family gatherings. So there are those who are at Jerusalem for the Passover simply because they love the pageantry. They love the excitement. They love the things that are going on. And then there are those in Jerusalem for the Passover that were there for the prophet. Because at Passover, the inns would be full. The restaurants would be selling their food. The suppliers of sacrificial animals would be selling sacrificial animals. So at the Passover, there was great commerce going on. It was one of the biggest commercial events of the year. Again, very much like Christmas. And some enjoy Christmas just because of profit. I am told that the yearly success of most retail stores is tied to how well they do during the Christmas shopping season. You see, Christmas in America today is more about buying and selling than anything else. It has become heavily commercialized. So there were some there just for the pageantry, some there just for the excitement of the decor and the decorations and all of those things. Some were there for the profit. Others were there just for the pleasure. Passover was a time of celebration. The Jewish kids looked forward to the Passover. And you understand, some of you were probably there at one time in your life when Christmas meant parties and drinking. Say amen. Those who drink look forward to drinking at Christmas parties. Those who give gifts look forward to giving and getting. Those who are about family look forward to the family getting together. It's about pleasure. And nothing, I think, more illustrates that than we have churches all across America trying to decide, because Christmas falls on Sunday, whether they are going to have church or not. Can I say we're not trying to decide that? Just because Christmas falls on the Lord's Day, what better day to meet on the Lord's Day than on the day we celebrate His birth? But I have read articles all week long about churches who are canceling their services because it's too difficult. People aren't going to be there. It doesn't matter. Why would we change the meeting and the worship of the Lord on the Lord's Day because it's His birthday? You know why? Because family is more important. The pageantry is more important. The giving and the gifting is more important. You see, it is very possible for us to celebrate Christmas and Christ not even be a part of it. Or be a very small part of it. In other words, Christmas has become about us. I want to ask you this morning to beware of having a superficial Christmas that leaves Jesus out. Or having a superficial Christmas that just includes Christ along with everything else. We read the Christmas story, but we got everything else going on too. So Christ has got a little bit along with everything else. No. Christ should not be just one of many parts. Passover was about Christ. Christmas is about Christ. If we celebrate Christmas like the lost world celebrates Christmas, it will be a superficial celebration. And I want to challenge you. Dare to be different than the world. Are you with me? Dare to be different than the world, because you are different than the world. Christ indwells you. Be different than those who aren't indwelt by Christ. Should not Christ mean much more to us than he means to the world? You see, if we're not careful, we get all wrapped up in the pageantry, the decorations, the festivities. We get all wrapped up in the profit of giving and gifting and getting. And we get all wrapped up in the pleasure. And all of that takes place of the Savior. To the point that churches aren't even going to have church. And that those who claim to be Christians aren't even planning to go if they do have church. What happened here, where these people were celebrating Passover, but I'm going to tell you, the context makes it plain that it was for them superficial. Now listen, when they hear Christ is coming, it says they take palm branches and they celebrate the coming of the king. But I want you to know something. I think that doesn't speak of those who are in Jerusalem. I think that speaks of those who traveled with Christ to Jerusalem. And if it does speak to those who are in Jerusalem, they're praising God today, and in a few days they're crying, "Crucify him." Why? Because he's not the Savior they want. It's never about him. It's about them. Their traditions. We have to be careful, because we'll wind up doing the very same thing. Amen? Number two. Not only do I urge you to beware of having a superficial Christmas, but I urge you to beware of having a self-centered Christmas. Do you know what Christmas is filled with? People wondering what they're going to get. Let me give you just a little synopsis of what Christmas has become. Somebody gives you a gift, and your immediate thought is what? Oh, great. Now I got to go get them something. And there are some people who are spending their time this Christmas trying to convince their children that there's going to be a fat man coming from the North Pole on a sleigh guided by flying reindeer sliding down their chimney bringing them gifts. While everybody else is asking, what is in it for me? What is in it? What am I getting for Christmas? I want you to look down to verse 20. There were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." There's the feast of the Passover, taking place by the Jewish people who were the chosen people of God, who were not interested in seeing Christ. But there are these Greeks who have come to this Passover. They are outside of the covenant. They don't understand Jewish customs, and they don't understand the Messiah the way they need to. But they're interested in seeing Jesus. And so we have all of this Jewish Passover festivity. And these Greeks, not of the household of Israel, perhaps they have heard about the teaching of Christ. They come to Philip and they say, "Listen, do you know Jesus? Would you introduce us to Jesus? We have come to see Jesus." And should that not be what Christmas should be about? Not about us, but about Christ. So I'm not against you having a tree. Make it a Christ tree. Decorate your home in a Christ way so that those who would come to your home would be introduced to Christ. Are you with me? Now, we decorate primarily because we like the decorations. And we do it in a way that brings us pleasure, right? We don't put up decorations with the intention in our hearts, in our minds, that these decorations will point others to Christ. Your decorations are beautiful, somebody might say. We put these up because it reminds us that he is the light of the world. They are tangled with evergreens because we believe that we have eternal life through the light of the world. Intentionality, not just dumb tradition. So I encourage you, don't just read the Christmas story. Tell them why Jesus came and why they desperately need to be saved. It's not just a cute little story. Do inventory in your home and how you celebrate Christmas. How much of what you have in your home is about Christ and how much is not about Christ? Because that little nativity scene that sits right there on that little table, that pales in comparison to the pile of presents that are under the tree. I'm just asking you to be honest with yourself. Come clean. Confess that you're right. I have gotten tangled up in the world's understanding. Christmas at my home is more about us than it's about Christ. Confess. Confession's good for the soul. I got convicted about that many, many years ago. Took steps in my own life, in my family, to correct that. Because I just can't confess it, I got to correct it, right? So we do have a tree. We do have a tree. If you're wondering, we do have a tree. It is covered with the names of Christ. Hebrew names, Greek names. It's covered with the names of Christ. If you come to our house and you see our tree, you will be immediately met with all different names of Christ. And then we have a nativity scene. We bought Haddon a nativity scene. He's got a nativity scene. I think that's all we got. Is that all we got? There's no presents under the tree. Haddon is going to be severely scarred because he's getting nothing for Christmas. Well, how do you explain that to your kids? You explain it this way. It's not your birthday. It's Christ's birthday. When it's your birthday, we're going to make it all about you. Say amen. I'm going to spend gobs of money, if I have it, on Haddon on January 18th. That's his birthday. December 25th is not the day we celebrate Haddon's birthday. We celebrate the birthday of Christ. So in my own heart, I don't want to be anything in competition with Christ on the day that we say we're celebrating his coming. No competition. And I don't want it to be about me. And I don't want it to be a self-centered Christmas. What am I going to get? What am I going to give so that I can get? Or what am I going to give so the person to give me something won't feel badly toward me? All of that is self-centeredness. Let me ask you a question. And I want you to answer this in your heart and just be honest. Would Christmas be as grand to you if there were no gifts? Or let me put it this way. Could you truly celebrate Christmas with the same enthusiasm and the same joy if there were no gifts? If you gave no gifts, if you got no gifts, if you didn't put up a tree, if you didn't put up any lights, what is it? Tell me the thing that would make Christmas less good if you didn't have it. That's the test. Take it all away. Take it all away. Take away the trees. Take away the lights. Take away the greenery. Take away dressing up like elves. Take away the family meal. And you say it just wouldn't be Christmas without those things. There is the problem. Because Christmas has nothing to do with those things. Those things are about us, not Christ. So beware of making Christmas superficial. Beware of making Christmas self-centered. Number three, beware of having a short-sighted Christmas. These Greeks come to Christ. They want to know, what in the world is going on? What is this ritual all about? What is the Passover all about? What is he doing? Right? Because Jesus was a notorious person at this moment, right? He's got warrants out against him. Philip comes and tells Andrew. Andrew tells Christ along with Philip. Now watch, I want you to look at what Jesus says in response to these Greeks who are looking to be introduced to Christ. Jesus answered them saying, "The hour is come. The hour is come that the Son of Man should be what? Glorified. Verily I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." What's Christ talking about here? He's talking about his death. He's talking about his burial and his resurrection, because that's what the religious ceremony of Passover truly was about. People are delivered through Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection. It was about their deliverance from slavery and oppression. And Jesus is saying here, look past this festivity. Look past this pageantry. Look past this profit. Look past this pleasure. And see what it truly typifies and what it pictures. It pictures Christ. It's so easy to get sentimental about a baby. Right? It's so easy to get sentimental about the birth of Jesus Christ and the little baby laying in a manger, born in a stable. But God's plan centers in the cross, not the cradle. Say amen. If Christ comes and doesn't go to the cross, you're not saved. Not only is there no scripture that tells us to celebrate Christmas, there's no record that I can find in the early church that they ever celebrated Christmas. Isn't it clever of the devil to celebrate and put the emphasis on the birth of Christ that neglects the death of Christ? Isn't that clever? To have something that never links the cradle to the cross. You see, here's the thing. The more worldly we are, and the more worldly the church is, the more we will make of Christmas and the less we will make of Calvary. When these Greeks came during all of this ceremony wanting to know what it is all about, what does Jesus do? He talks to them about his death, his burial, and his resurrection. On the heart of Christ at this time was, a grain of wheat has to fall to the ground and die. It has to die. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. The hour has come. The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Not us. We are not to be glorified. Nothing else is to be glorified. Christ is to be glorified. Has that hour not come? Christmas is about Jesus. I think if we're going to celebrate Christmas, it should be the hour that has come that the Son of Man be glorified. And so what was this Passover about? What did this Passover mean? What did it point towards? It was about a little lamb that was going to die. Isn't that what the Christmas story is about? Mary having a little lamb, and that lamb was born to die. So I don't want you to have a short-sighted Christmas that only has in view the birth of Christ without the death of Christ. don't fail to look beyond the cradle to the cross and to the crown. And thank Him this Christmas when you see all of the red that so often is at Christmas, and think of the blood of Christ that will be shed on the cross for your sins. Let me conclude by seeing how Jesus concludes, verse 25 and 26. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there also shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. There are two things that I want to conclude that you need to do this Christmas to make Christmas right. Number one, glorify Christ. Number two, follow Him. Glorify Him and follow Him. Glorify Christ. The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. If any man will come after me, let him follow me. If you are a follower of Christ, follow Christ, glorify Him. Do not let the world distract you. So distracted we can become that Christ is not glorified. Everything else gets glorified, but Him. And I don't want my Christmas, I do not want my Christmas to be about the pageantry or the prophet or the pleasure. I don't want my Christmas to be about me. I don't want my Christmas to only be about the birth of Christ without the death and the resurrection of Christ. You see, here's the deal. I'm going to stand before God one day and give an account for the deeds that have been done in this body. I'm going to stand before Christ one day and give an account for my family as being the head of the family. Say amen. And I may be totally wrong in how I'm celebrating Christmas and how I've taught my family to celebrate Christmas. Maybe totally off base. But I am doing it out of a heart that desires to make sure that Christ is glorified at Christmas at my home. Because I want Christmas to be about Him. For Him, to Him. Because He is my God. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. He is my all in all. I am a follower of His. So I should glorify Him at all times. Every day, every minute, whether I eat, drink, or whatever I do, I am to bring glory to Him. But especially, I think, on a day in which we say we're celebrating His birth. So every one of us, this Christmas, a week from now to next Sunday, we're either going to get Christmas right or we're going to get Christmas wrong. As your pastor, it is my responsibility to urge you to get it right. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your word. We pray that You would cause it to go forth with power. And I pray that You would break down these traditions that we have. You would break down these desires in our heart to be like the world. And we would dare to be different. We would celebrate Christmas differently than the world does. We would celebrate it in a way that it has substance and it has significance. It is about Christ and not the fluff and the stuff that we pull out and we put up and then we pull it back down and put it up till next year. This is about Christ. This is about God coming and taking on flesh for us. Help us to break down those things that make this about us, because we are so selfish in our fallen nature. We want things for ourselves. We want to be the center of attention. We like the family. We like the stuff. Help it to be about you completely. And help us look past the cradle and see the cross. That Jesus Christ came into the world so that he may go to the cross and die there for us to have forgiveness of our sins. God, I pray. Not for the world. I pray for my dear friends and my dear people here at Lakeview. Help us not to have a superficial, self-centered, short-sighted Christmas. And we'll thank you for the glory that it brings to you. In Jesus' name and for Christ's sake, we pray.